This is Educated and Empowered. Hey guys, it's your girl Tenille Jackson coming back to you one more time with another episode. If you have been following me, you know that this is going to be a 9-part series, and we are a third of the way through. So this is part 3 that we're going to be talking about. We are in a discussion about regarding the fruit of the spirit, and in fact the actual topic is, what is the missing fruit that is the root of your problems? And so we are on the third fruit today. So every day I'm going to be discussing a different fruit, giving a breakdown as to what that fruit is, what it does, the benefits of having it, and the drawbacks or the cons if you don't have it, right? And so on the first day, we talked about love. And so I broke that thing down where we were not just talking about love generically speaking, but understanding that it is commanded that you love not just yourself or not just others, but it is commanded that you love yourself and others. Many people, you know, they have problems loving themselves. They suffer with low self-esteem, and they feel that, well, it's okay as long as I do well by other people, and as long as I do good to other people, who cares about me? Who cares how I treat myself? Well, the commandment says that we ought to love our neighbors as ourselves. And so the only way that I can do that thing right is I have to be able to love myself positively. Because if I hate myself, and if I treat my neighbor the way that I treat myself, but I treat myself poorly, that then means that I'm going to treat my neighbor poorly, right? And so we broke that down, explaining about love for others as well as love for self. And then on yesterday's fruit, we talked about joy. We talked about what joy looked like, what happens when you don't have joy, and what you can do to obtain joy if you've never had it, or restore joy if you once had it. And then you look up and for whatever reason, your joy is gone. And so today we are going to be talking about peace. And again, as I constantly give the disclaimer for each of these talks, if you are not a believer, then this may not... This may not be the talk for you, although I am not simply talking from a biblical perspective. I do take our theme is coming from the King James Version of the Bible. In fact, it is Galatians, the 5th chapter, verses 22 and 23. Also, much of the advice that I give is going to be based upon faith or some type of biblical principle. And so if you are an atheist or some other religion that does not believe in faith, you don't believe in God, Jesus, or the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit, however you refer to him, then this may not be the talk for you. But what I do not do and what I will not do is I will never debate the word of God, because the truth does not need to be defended. I am always open, letting you all know where I stand, that I am a person who believes in trying to live my life as best as I can in accordance to what God asks us to do. I am very vocal with saying that I am not one that's hugely into religion, so I do not study religion. When I was in school, just a quick story, and we're going to jump right into it. I remember being a freshman, and this was my undergrad, and so I remember being being a freshman, and we had Christian, and what was it? It was something to do, it's like a class on religion. And here was, I thought that I was, because I go to church, I thought that I was really going to just ace this class because it was talking about religion, right? But then I soon learned that what it was that I practiced and what it is that people study when they talk about religion, totally different things, right? So I'm not the person that's going to be doing hermeneutics and homiletics and all of that type of stuff. What I do is I talk to you about the practicality of relationship, right? Because my belief is that God wants for us to live a certain way. He wants for us to treat people a certain way. And sometimes religion can become its own religion. Like sometimes when we start debating about which denomination is right, and you know, now you're kind of losing sight of the bigger picture, and then the world or non-believers are looking at you debating and putting each other down, and it really it just does not speak highly of how we are to be living. And so when you listen to me, when I do different spiritual talks, because again, as being both a literary coach and a life coach, obviously when I'm talking literary stuff, then that's really not hard to dispute, right? Like I've been in the literary realm for over a decade. So it's not opinionated. Like you can Google me, everything that I've done, all the accolades, these are all factual things. Any points of reference that I give you, these are all things that you can look up. As a life coach, a lot of times life coaching is more experience based, right? So it's no hard facts, because one of the things that I think we all know by now is that when you live this thing called life, there is no manual. There is nothing that is, you know, etched in stone that says this is the exact way in order to get these results. Even when you apply the word of God, it doesn't say that you're going to get this result tomorrow. It doesn't say, you know, it doesn't give you a definitive deadline, but it does come with promises and reassurances that, again, if you have faith, then you believe that God is no short of his word. You believe that whatever it is that God promised, he is going to bring it to pass, right? And so that's the reason, that's what I want to preface this with before we jump into it. So that way you all understand who it is that's coming to you. Again, in terms, I do not a lot of times operate in title, but when I'm doing certain things, I do like to let you all know. Like as an example, if I'm telling you that I'm a literary coach, then I let you know, hey, I'm a national and international award-winning author. I have, you know, almost 20 books published to my name. I've been recognized locally, nationally, and internationally. And that is not to puff myself up. That's to give, to let you all know that there is credibility behind this. And it's the same way with being a life coach. There are a few different sectors in which I operate as a life coach. Giving you spiritual advice is one of them. I am a licensed evangelist. I am a prophet. I am I believe in God. Let's just put it like that. And so when I'm talking to you all about it from this regard, understand that I didn't just open up a Bible yesterday. This is something that I've been, you know, I've been in church all of my life. And so this is where I'm coming from. So I want you all to know who it is that's bringing you whatever word it is that I bring to you. So that way you're not like, oh, she's just some Johnny come lately, right? So let's go ahead and let's jump into this. But again, if you are not already following me, feel free to do so, whether on Wisdom, Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, Clubhouse, or YouTube. You can find me at My Name is Tenille. And if you have not been able to catch some of these episodes, then feel free to subscribe to my Educated and Empowered podcast, which you can find on anchor.fm, as well as Spotify, iHeart, Apple and Google Podcasts, and any other major streaming platforms. And if you subscribe and pay that $3.99 a month, then you'll get access not just to this content, but you'll get exclusive bonus content that I make just for my subscribers that you're not going to find anywhere else other than with a subscription. So feel free. And if you are getting something from these conversations, from these talks that I'm doing, then feel free to go ahead and at least show your support. So let's just jump in. So today we are talking about what is the missing fruit that is the root of your problem. And today we're going to talk about peace. And the definition of peace is freedom from disturbance, or just saying tranquility, right? So just being able to be tranquil, be able to have, you know, be calm. So you want to be able to be problem-free, stress-free, worry-free. All of those different things are synonymous with having peace. And so why is not having peace a problem? Well, because what happens is if you are operating without peace, then that means, again, the opposite of peace typically is stress or worry or anxiety, right? And so you have to understand that all of those are emotions, and not just emotion, but they're not good emotions. Those are not the emotions that you want to operate in, because now you're operating off of emotion as opposed to logic, right? Think about it. Whenever you're stressed out, many times, because stress looks different on different people, I've done some shows about stress and the stress effects, if you want to go back and listen to those. But many times when people are not at peace, when they're dealing with different problems in their life, they don't know how to just maintain their sense of peace. So what's happening is they are worrying, they are stressed out. And so when you're stressed, then a lot of times that means you have a very low threshold for other people. So when people are trying to talk to you, you're snapping off at everybody. That's when you're, you know, high stress. When you're worried, that means you're not really sleeping well. You know, you're tossing back and forth because you have so much stuff that's on your mind. And it could be a myriad of things, right? It could be, you know, things that's going on at work, and so all of the weight that you're carrying from there. It could be problems within your relationship. It could be your children are giving you a hard time. It could just be financial worries. I mean, you name it, and life throws it at us, right? And so when you lack peace, then what's happening is you are not really your best self, because you are worrying, you are stressing, you have so much anxiety. And so whereas I told you that what stress looks like and worry, a lot of times what anxiety looks like is, you know, just really being on edge all the time, you know, being nervous about everything, and like just really not being able to. Sometimes it can be severe, right? Like you have people who suffer with anxiety attacks or suffer with stress disorders. And I am a person who, I was people once upon a time, I was a person who suffered with anxiety and panic attacks, right? And so again, these are all conditions of the mind where you really have to be able to get a hold of your mind, and you have to be able to speak to yourself to let yourself know, you know what, all of this is not necessary. And beyond that, none of it is helping, because at the end of the day, when you finish worrying and stressing and being overly anxious, whatever problems you had, whatever conditions that were there, whatever the situations were, they are still the same when you get finished worrying yourself to death. Now you suffering with insomnia, you're not able to get any rest, or you snapping off at everybody, so now you've isolated yourself from people. Like, those are not good things. And you may say, well, you know, how could you just say it with such authority? And again, this is not opinionated. Number one, if you go to the Bible, it says that God did not give us the spirit of fear. So when you are operating in stress and worry and anxiety over what's going to come, because maybe you don't know what's going to come next, or you don't know how to deal with it, it kind of just trickles down to you're being fearful, right? And that is not what God wants for us. Number two, there's a scripture, 1 Peter 5:7, that says, cast your cares to him, for he cares for you. And so that right there lets me know that God's desire for us is not that we worry. He does not want for us to be allowing the weight of this world to really overtake us. His desire is that whatever it is that you are going through, that you give it to him and that you not worry about it. And you may be saying, but Tanil, you have no clue what it is that I'm worried about. You don't know that I just got laid off my job. You don't know that I just got an eviction notice. You don't know that my child just called me from jail. So how can you just say not to worry about it? Or how is it that you know that God can handle whatever problem that I give to him? Well, because there is another scripture that says, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? So the question that God is posing to his children is, do you have a problem that you really feel like is too big or too hard? And if you do feel that way, then toss it to him. Again, that scripture, it coincides with the first Peter that I just gave you. So that scripture about, is there anything too hard for me, that comes from Jeremiah. The scripture I told you about with first Peter, cast your cares. Whatever it is that you have weighing you down, he's basically admonishing you to give it to him. Like, if you think that it's just, if it's so hard, give it to me and see. Try him and see if you believe that he can handle it, whether or not, see if he can. You see what I'm saying? Like, a lot of times the reason why we have a problem is because we truly don't cast our cares to God. What we do is we pick and choose which things that we're going to keep for ourselves and which things we're going to turn over to him. And that's not going to leave you in a good space, right? And so what you want to do is make sure that you're not picking and choosing which battles to fight, that you understand that he is Jehovah Nisi. He is the Lord, your banner. He will fight your battle, whatever battle that may be, no matter how small or insignificant you may think the battle is. You must understand that God cares for you. And there's another scripture where it talks about, like, how he cares about the lilies in the field and the flowers and all of those things. And so if he cares about those things, how much more does he care for you? And so you have to just allow God an opportunity to be God. And when you do that, then some of all of the things that you're allowing yourself to worry about, you will notice that they'll start to fade away. If you are just now tuning in, we are talking about today's topic is, what is the missing fruit that is the root of your problem? And this is day three of what will be a 9-part series, or I should say part three of what will be a 9-part series. And as I've been saying for the other 2 parts, I am letting you all know in advance that I'm only doing either 5 or 6 of these live, but so on a particular app where everybody can catch it for free, I'm only doing 5 or 6 of them. The last 3 or 4 of them, you must subscribe to the website if you want to catch them. And so, like, if you're like, hey, I just like it to, I'll just listen to you for free, you know, and then that's fine. But if you're really getting something out of this series and you want to get all 9 of them, then I encourage you to subscribe. And even beyond that, if you really just want to show your support, if you're like, I really appreciate the wisdom and the nuggets that you're dropping, the least I can do is pay $3.99 a month. Either way, however you want to do it, know that not only do I appreciate it, but you're going to get something back in return. And so again, it's $3.99. You can go to anchor.fm or iHeart or Spotify or any of the other major streaming platforms to be able to access these episodes. So let's just jump right back into it. Today we're talking about peace. That is the third fruit. And remember, I said before that it's not the fruits with an S. It's not the fruits of the Spirit. It is the fruit of the Spirit, right? So it takes all nine. And again, the scripture that we come from, our foundation for this comes from Galatians, the 5th chapter, verses 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, aka patience, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, aka discipline. So those are the nine fruit. And so you need all nine of them together to have the whole. It takes the nine pieces to make one whole. And so you must understand that you are not your full self unless you possess all nine. So many times we like to kind of make ourselves self-righteous, and we like to talk about everything that we do have. So therefore, you know, maybe people won't focus on what we don't have. So, well, because I'm one of the most, you know, one of the kindest people that you'll ever know, or my heart is so big and I have so much love that, you know, I take this person, that person, but you don't rest at night. You're not sleeping. So the fact that you have love is great. It's great. And I applaud you. You love yourself and you love others. That's great. But that's not all of it, you know, and again, I quote that scripture, to let a man examine himself. So this is not about comparing yourself to somebody else or measuring up against someone else. The only competition that you have is who you were on yesterday. So every day you simply want to try to aim to be better than who you were on yesterday. And so this whole series is really trying to give you the tools necessary to equip you so that way you can say, you know what, let me examine me. What am I missing, right? So that way you're not waiting until a new year, another birthday, another major holiday. Like at any point, you can make the choice to say that I want to be whole. And I'm letting you know that if one of these fruit, if one of them is missing, then you're not whole. There is some part of you that could be better. You could be the best, you know, as far as you're concerned, you are killing it. But if you would just allow me to tell you that even if you're killing it now, if you are missing a fruit, if you are, you know, if you don't have all of them, then you could be killing it even so much more. Like you could be even more over the top, right? Because now you would be operating in fullness. You'll be operating in wholeness. And a lot of times it's when we go through problems that whatever it is that we're missing is exposed, because there are a lot of different problems that you experience in your life, right? And so every problem that you experience doesn't bring out the same character traits in you, right? So like there are certain things that you go through and it might not be a problem for you. And again, we look at situations wrong because we're comparing ourselves to somebody else. And so to us, for us, hey, well, if this problem took this person down, but I got through the problem. Okay, so guess what? That didn't expose your weakness, right? But we all have something that we need to be working to improve. We all have an area that we praying that nobody either finds out about, or that we're praying that this type of problem don't hit us because we not ready. You know, we would be ill prepared. And so again, the purpose of going through this 9-part series isn't because I don't have anything else to do. Hey, I'm not even getting paid to do this. What this is something that was put on my heart to do, to help whoever it is that taps in and tunes into this to really sit down and say, you know what? What area am I struggling in? What area could I be better? Because I don't care how good you are or how good you get, there is always room for improvement. And so as an empowerment specialist, as a coach, what I'm always looking for is ways to make sure that whoever I'm in contact with, that I'm offering tools that can help you to improve, right? And understand that I always come for myself first. It starts with me. A lot of the things that I say to you all, y'all, the reason why I can say it to you is because I had to be taken through it myself. Or maybe there might be certain things that I'm still going through currently, right? Because I don't care what coach you have, there, none of us are perfect. We all have some situations that we're going through. Many of us, we've either mastered or are mastering certain things before, you know, by the time we get it to our client. But understand that there is nobody that's perfect. And so for me, again, I want to take the time to go through this 9-part series to help you be able to sit down. And so I'm hoping that when you're listening to the broadcast, the podcast, that you have a pen and paper, or at the very least, that you have a clear mind, right? That you are really like giving this what it needs to examine yourself. So that way you can see, hey, what can I do? Because again, not only do I just tell you what the thing is, I don't just tell you what it looks like when your life doesn't possess it. I don't just tell you the benefits of having it, but then I give you at least one step, at least one thing you can do that if you feel like you're missing it, that you could implement so you can get it back, right? And so again, all that I'm asking is that you share the podcast with somebody, or that you go and you support my Educated and Empowered podcast, right? So it's a give and take situation. So let's just jump right back into this. We are talking about peace, which is the third piece, P-I-E-C-E, right? So peace is the third piece of this fruit puzzle. And so we've talked about what it looks like when you don't have peace. But let's talk about what it looks like when you do. And in fact, I have a four-piece prayer devotional journal set that I did a couple years ago. And it's all about praying and learning how to master prayer. And I'll talk about that a little bit more. But one of the journals is called Praying Peace for My Life, right? Praying, or it's either for my life or over my life, but praying peace and understanding that there are so many scriptures in the Bible that you can refer to that talk about peace and the power of peace and why you need peace. And so the benefit of peace is that when all of everything is going on like a whirlwind around you, you don't have to be overtaken by it, right? Like I'm thinking about the story in the Bible where the disciples are on this boat with Jesus, right? I mean, storms just raging and the waves are just boisterous and everything is just, oh my goodness, like these disciples are really about to lose their mind because of just how bad the storm is. But then they go to look for Jesus, because they're all worried and they're all concerned. And oh my God, what's going on? The wind is blowing, the water is boisterous. What is going on? And when they find Jesus, Jesus is asleep. And so they wake him up because they can't understand how it is that he could possibly be asleep in the midst of all of this turmoil. And so when he gets up, obviously he's concerned about his disciples. And so he simply says, he commands the wind and the waves. He simply says, peace, be still. He speaks the words and all of everything that was raging, it just comes to a halt. And here is the point that I'm making. You could literally, it could be such turmoil in your life. Everything that could go wrong, Murphy's Law, everything that could go wrong has gone wrong. You've done everything right. So it's not even because you did something wrong. You didn't miss a payment. You wasn't mean to nobody. You didn't cut anybody off. You ain't snapped at nobody. Like, you're making all the right choices, yet every single thing is going wrong. And I think as humans, that's what really gets us. Like, I think pieces of us, even though we don't like consequences, pieces of us understand that if I do something or someone wrong, then I can expect to have something bad happen to me, right? Like, even though, again, we're not asking for that to happen, just being human, we kind of understand that when you do something bad, then something bad gonna come back to you, right? But I think that it's more difficult to accept or to understand when you're doing stuff right. Like when I'm doing right by this person, when I'm doing right by that person, when I could have did X, but instead I did the right thing. When I, you know, I'm paying all my bills, but then this still happened. So I think that that's what makes it a little bit more difficult for us. But at the same point, let me explain that despite all of that, what peace does, the benefit to peace, is that no matter what it is, like you could have someone that's near and dear to you that's in the hospital, and instead of you losing your mind trying to figure out, oh my God, what am I gonna do, that peace will keep you. You can be going through in your relationship just something terrible, and when I say that, the person is just arguing or being mean or being hateful or spiteful or whatever, and rather than you retaliating, you just don't do anything. You just literally hold your peace. You could have it where the phone is ringing, they telling you that your child is, you know, it just got locked up or whatever the case may be, and instead of you losing your mind, you're still able to maintain your peace, right? Because this is what peace does. It allows you to just have a calmness despite what's going on. And do understand that you by yourself, your own flesh within your own power, you are not able of yourself to just have this peace, right? You have to understand that if it was that simple, like this is something that is a gift of God. And so I'm going to read Philippians 4:7. Says, the peace of God, it passes all understanding, and it will keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. And so the reason why you're able to not lose your mind, the reason why you're able to not snap off, to not lose control, is because you have the peace of God. Right? This is something that you're able to activate. It's inside of you. But as I've said for parts 1 and 2, it's a choice. You have to choose peace. You have to say, because some of us are loose cannons, right? Some of us, we just do not handle pressure well. As soon as something, the least little thing happens, we are all emotional. We are all over the place. The least little thing happens, we cry, we in depression, or we having a fit, we going off. So many of us don't handle pressure well, right? But if you want to know how to combat the overwhelmingness of pressure, then you get peace, because that is your solution. Peace will allow you, again, keep your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. So it's not through yourself, but you are looking to Jesus. You're looking to the Holy Spirit. You're looking for them to be for you what you can't be for yourself, right? And so this is how come it is so important that we believe in something bigger and greater than ourselves, because we can't do it on our own or of our own. We need something and someone bigger and greater than us to be able to take over in times of weakness, right? Because again, life is just so difficult. And I'm going to read 2 Corinthians 12:9. It says, he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. So when you are weak, whenever that situation is just so hard for you, don't even try to rely on your own strength. Can I bring up 1 Peter 5:7 again? Cast your cares to him. Lord, take this off of me. I don't want this to keep on being in the forefront of my mind. Matter of fact, I don't want to think about it at all, because at the end of the day, there's nothing that I can do about it. Like if you got a situation, because here's the thing, most situations you can't do nothing about it. You just think that you can. Sometimes we get so arrogant as to feel like, well, if I was there, if I'm hands on, then I can make this solution. I can make this happen. I can do this. No, you can't. You can't do anything more than what God allows you the grace for, right? And so sometimes the lesson that's learned through peace is, knowing when to say no, when to let go. I'm not going to hold on to this. I'm not going to try to handle this. This is too much for me. And just because it's too much for you, it doesn't make you weak. It doesn't mean something is wrong with you. It doesn't mean that you're missing something. It just means you were not equipped to handle the thing that you keep trying to make yourself be able to handle. There is a limit to our power. There's a limit to our strength. There's a limit to our capacity. But that is the reason why you are to turn that thing over to God, because with God, nothing is impossible. We can do all things through Christ, right? So we have to understand that, again, the scriptures really, they really have a part and they play a part, but they only work if you work them. And so, again, that's one of the things that I do, like as a life coach, when we're talking about spiritual matters, one of the strengths that I have is being able to get you to see yourself in the Word. The reason why so many people feel as though that the Bible is just this old artifact, it's just this old time storybook, it don't have any relevance, is because you've yet to see yourself in the Word. You know, a lot of times at my church, I tell them all the time, you know, it's great to learn the story about Jonah and Nahum and Daniel and the lion's den and all of, but I need you to be able to come up with that metaphor for yourself, because you've been in some lion's dens, right? And then when you start talking to people about that and you start asking them what some of the challenges that they faced when it felt like that they were thrown to the lions or thrown to the wolves. Oh, people can have those conversations, right? And so, again, I challenge you to find yourself in the Word. We're talking about peace on today. So is this the fruit that's missing for you? Is this the root of your problem? Are you walking around worrying all the time, overly stressed, overly anxious? And if you are people, if you find people saying, girl or man, you need to calm down some, it's not that serious, you might be missing peace. And so your prayer is, Lord, please fill me with your peace. I need to be filled with your peace, the peace of God. Why? Because it passes all understanding. So when everything is just going off, or when you're in that storm, whatever your storm may be, when everybody else is worrying, because you have the peace of God, you are able to be okay. You're able to yet have joy. You're able to yet be encouraged. And see, that passes all understanding. Because people are like, how in the world are you not worrying? How are you not freaking out? Because I have the peace of God. And so, again, this is something that you have to pray for. This is something, you know, Lord, please show me, help me. And as I've said for the other two fruit, it takes you acknowledging it. You have to acknowledge what you're missing. Yeah, other people may be able to see it, and that's great. But you have to be able to see it for yourself, because you have to ask of God. It's great. I can pray all day long. But number one, you got to acknowledge it, that you're missing it. And then number two, you have to state that you desire it. And then number three, you have to actively and consciously do what it takes to get it. And understand that when you pray for something, 9 out of 10 times, God is going to give you the exact antithesis of what you're praying for, because that's how you get what you're praying for. What are you saying, Tanil? So when you pray for peace, then God is going to allow you to go through so many storms. Why? Because the only way that you can get peace is to be tested through storms. And what we think that when we pray for peace, what that looks like is, okay, I pray for peace, so everything in my life is just gonna stop. No, that is not how it works. When you're praying for peace, you probably gonna notice more storms start to erupt around you, because what the test is, how you know you have peace, is when the storms are going on and you're not concerned by them. And so your prayer I mean, many of us, we just, Lord, please stop the storm. I'm tired of the rain, Lord. This thunder, this lightning, it ain't doing me too well. Y'all know how we pray. We don't want to go through nothing. But instead, I encourage you to pray the nevertheless prayer. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Lord, I don't have the peace that I need. And maybe you thought you had peace, but you seeing that these storms keep on coming up and it's really getting you more and more each day. It used to be where you maybe you had the peace, and so after a day or two you was good, but then a week or two later you still in it. So now you're seeing some grouchies come out, you know. So now your joy is being messed with. And again, this is how come all of these fruit, they're interconnected. So when you don't have one, yes, it is possible to lean on another one, but then guess what? You're leaning heavier on that fruit because you're missing one than you should. So I just encourage you all. I'm coming to the end, but I just want to encourage you all again. Tune in to this 9-part series. We're talking about the fruit of the Spirit. What the concept is to help you to identify the missing fruit that's the root to your problem. So whether it be love or joy, then again, I encourage you to go back and listen to the previous 2 podcasts. If it's peace, then, you know, if you're just coming in, then go back and listen to this from the beginning. But there are so many. It's 9 fruit specifically, but then we got gifts. There's so many different things. But I just want to try to be able to help someone be restored. It's someone that's constantly crying and you just really feel as though you're losing your mind. And that is the trick of the enemy. You can, if you never had peace, you can experience peace. And if you had it but you lost it, it can be restored, but you have to want it. And the key is that you have to submit and surrender yourself and your will to that of the will of God. And we don't like that part. We don't like to surrender and submit, because in the society that we've been in, we've been taught that those are bad words and that equates to weakness. But God is stronger in our weakness. It doesn't mean that you lose your independence. It simply means that you acknowledge that God is better, bigger, stronger, wiser than you. And so I encourage you to continue to seek him. It says that he's a rewarder to those who diligently seek him. So stop worrying about whatever the problem is, because your worrying isn't fixing the problem. It may make it worse, because now you've either isolated yourself, got on folks' nerve, you're making yourself sick. So it may make it worse, but it's definitely not making it better. And so I pray for you. I pray for you peace, that the Lord gives you his peace. And again, for those of you who want to go to Amazon, you can go there. I have those 4 prayer journals. One of them is called Praying Peace Over My Life. I also have Praying Purpose For My Life, Praying Problems Out of My Life, and Praying Prosperity Into My Life. And what I would definitively acknowledge you all, don't just, if you go to Amazon, don't just buy the Praying Prosperity Into My Life. So many people want to jump the gun because of the 4 prayer devotional set. That is number 4. That is the last part. We always just want to hear about the prosperity, all of the good stuff that's going to come, all of the gifts and all of the money and all of the, you know, we only want that. But can I tell you that if you haven't figured out how to get the necessities, that all the extras won't even matter, because you won't know what to do with them when you get it. You won't know how to manage them, how to be good stewards with it when you get it. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these other things shall be added. And so if you have noticed that you're lacking peace, then again, one of the things that you can do, obviously, you can go to God's word and you can read it. If you are one that is like that Ethiopian eunuch who didn't understand the word on his own and needed some help, Then I'm encouraging you to get that prayer devotional journal, praying peace over my life. Because in that journal, it's a 13-week journal. And so literally you get 13 different scriptures, and not just the scripture, but I break down the scripture in everyday language so you understand what that scripture means to and for you, how to pray. So like there is a daily prayer guide where you're not just praying for yourself, you're praying for your spouse, you're praying for your children. Like every day there's somebody else, even your enemy. There is somebody that you are praying for every day. You're praying the peace. You're praying the peace in your life. And again, I've told you all, the way to really make things work, in order for something to become a habit, you have to do it on a consistent basis. It's not going to just come because you recognize that you don't have it, acknowledge that you don't have it, and say that you do. You have to work on it. And with that prayer journal, again, it's a 13-week journal. You have the scripture. You have the explanation of the scripture and everyday word. And then I even give you a prayer tip. I give you something to ask for within the prayer that's going to help to strengthen you. And so, you can go there. You can go on Amazon. You can find that, get that. Just keyword search my name, and all my books will pop out or pop up on Amazon. Again, Tenille M. Jackson on Amazon. The name of that book is Praying Peace Over My Life, and it's a 13-week devotional journal. And so it is intended for you to go along with it. You go along and grow along with it. So I'm hoping that you all got something from today. And again, I ask that you tune in again tomorrow for part 4. So part 4 might be something that everybody can use a little bit more of. And that is long suffering, aka patience. So as I close, don't forget, if you're not already connected with me, please follow me, whether it be Wisdom, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn, TikTok, Clubhouse, or YouTube at My Name is Tenille. If you would like to schedule a consultation with me or even your own personalized coaching program, then feel free to go to my website, mynameistenille.com. That's my name is TONEAL.com. If you would like to join my coaching community on Facebook, then go ahead and look it up. It's called Educated and Empowered. So you can do that and join that coaching community. Itself is free. You get daily tips, and then we come off of Facebook. We have monthly group coaching sessions, as well as a book of the month that you receive for a $20 membership fee. So there are so many different ways, economically feasible ways, that I have to help you to grow if that's really what you're looking to do. If you need someone who genuinely cares, you need someone that's serving as an accountability partner, then that's really what I am. I'm very hands-on with my clients. And again, at the very least, go ahead to anchor.fm or Spotify or iHeart and subscribe to the Educated and Empowered podcast for only $3.99. Thank you guys so much, and I hope to see you, or actually to talk to you, on tomorrow.